Since President Bush laid out his vision for a Palestinian state last week, it's become clear that the Bush administration has no plan for how to achieve it. Special Envoy William Burns met with allies in Europe this week to discuss a plan of action, but so far there's no date for an international conference or for Secretary of State Colin Powell to visit the Middle East. Analysts warn the result could be a dangerous vacuum, NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
Few analysts find fault with what President Bush called for, an eventual end to Israeli occupation, two states side by side, and major reforms to promote good governance in the Palestinian Authority. Edward Djerigian is with the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice University.
Having a vision that's confirmed or reconfirmed by the President of the United States that posits what U.S. policy sees as the end game is a very important part of the ability to move forward from the desperate situation on the ground.
But what the president left unsaid was how to get from here to there. And some critics say with that lapse, the administration essentially declined to get involved in the Middle East.
I think it's disappointing and people are losing interest, frankly.
Judith Kipper of the Council on Foreign Relations says by focusing on sidelining Yasser Arafat, Mr. Bush avoided the real issue, how to mediate two competing national movements. She does not dismiss the cynical suggestion that the administration pointedly wants to avoid tough steps until after November's congressional elections.
Whether the situation on the ground can wait until after the November elections is another story, because it has been an uncontrollable cycle of violence that continues to go into lulls, and then each time it gets back to the cycle, it gets worse and worse and worse, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon.
Kipper and other analysts say the Bush administration has failed to offer a clear path out of this cycle of violence. Palestinian reform is a necessary demand, they say. But how can Palestinians hold new elections if they're under Israeli occupation and curfew, unable to get to the grocery store, let alone the ballot box? How can the security services be reformed even as they're under continued Israeli attack? Jeffrey Kemp is with the Nixon Center for Peace and Freedom. He says Palestinians must regain control over their daily affairs.
You have to use the same security forces that the administration is essentially saying are corrupt and tainted and will eventually have to go. And that's not going to be easy. You're also going to need the cooperation of the Israeli government. And while it has a lot of incentives to cooperate to keep things quiet, it perhaps has less incentives than we do to see early elections, which could then pose a real dilemma for them.
U.S. analysts say the Israeli government may not be eager to enter peace negotiations that might follow Palestinian elections. Ned Walker of the Middle East Institute echoes those who say President Bush erred in failing to make any immediate demands on Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. Walker recently traveled to the Arab world and says he's never felt so much hostility and anger about U.S. policies. He says a generation of young Arabs no longer sees the U.S. as the source of a possible solution to the Mideast conflict, but rather as part of the problem.
They're seeing the president, no matter how we slice it, as the ally of Sharon, and they're seeing that he has not been prepared to call Sharon on anything, and when he has said that Sharon should do something, Sharon has ignored him.
Even among its European allies, the U.S. appears increasingly isolated. European leaders have rejected the call to sideline Yasser Arafat and say they would continue to deal with him if he's reelected. Palestinians also are rallying around Arafat, a defiant reaction several analysts say the Bush administration should have predicted. One Israeli analyst says it's clear to him the U.S. has no realistic policy for peace, and he says that can only mean things will get worse. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.